ask
This
you
call
questions.
is being recorded.
Go ahead. I didn't hear that.
When do you want me to ask you questions?
Oh, near the end of the interview.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Welcome to Ask Win, everyone. This morning, you will hear a little bit different technology because we're using Uber Conference. I thought we were using the conference call line. So, that being said, I do not sound like I'm in a can because with my conference call line, I sound like I'm in a can. Trust me, I sound like I'm in a teapot when I do these interviews. So I'm going to let Miss Glynn take it away and explain more about what she does. And then I'm going to ask her a couple baseline questions. And then she's going to interview me at the end. And we're just going to see how this goes.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Wynn, for having me on your show. I'm really looking forward to this. Where would you like me to start?
I would like you to start with what you do.
Okay. So I retired from teaching, and my role was actually as a guidance counselor in the last 15 years of my career in a secondary school. And what I did there was help at-risk students overcome barriers for success to achieve graduation. And they had lots and lots of issues. But what I found was predominantly a lot of them had a lot of loss and a lot of grief that was unresolved. And so I worked with them around that and got some additional training so I felt more comfortable in that sort of area with them. I left my teaching position 2 years early from retirement because I felt like we were not addressing the issues with kids early enough in elementary school. And so by the time they get to secondary, it's so complicated. It takes more resources. And I was really, really burnt out. So I decided that I would leave that and write a book to help other people. And in the meantime, I do help other people individually, kind of doing guidance counseling for individuals outside, so adults outside, much like what I used to do for kids. So I help people move forward past their own barriers that is preventing them from living the flourishing life that they want to lead. And I also do some teaching outside about some of those areas that have kept people stuck, so trauma and addiction and grief. I educate professionals so that they are aware of those resources to help them do their job better.
Well, okay, I don't know if you know this, but in 2000, I lost my job from a terrible employer. She was terrible. People know that. In a public school system here in Aspen, Colorado, USA.
Oh.
And I lost my job in 2009 when the economic crash hit. And then I lost my mom in 2010 to viral meningitis. She went into the hospital with a brain aneurysm and got viral meningitis, got medical malpractice big time, and yeah. So, but I was lucky enough to get a job, believe it or not, in teaching, which I still have, at the elementary school that I went to as a child.
Wow.
And so they, of course, know me. They know me big time. I now just get paid to help kids. And I'm now, this year, I'm actually on the admin side of it. I'm more on the admin side of it than teaching kids because I thought teaching kids, I can't do it anymore. My body can't do it anymore. I actually taught preschool for 11 years, retired from that, and then I taught third grade music, loved that. And now they put me in the admin creative position because I told them flat out, I'm not filing people. Like I said to my boss, my supervisor, I said, I am not filing people. Like, you guys know that. Give me more creative projects. So they did. So I'm more on creative admin side. But Gwen, as you were saying your story, I started on in my head because right now we have a public situation going on with our public schools, which I am not, I am involved with just a little bit, but not that much because I can't be, where the admins are not listening to the teachers. Let's just put it that way. The admins are not listening to the teachers. The admins are putting stuff underneath a rug that the teacher's about to triple those. They're not careful in the public school system. So I decided I'll help where I can, but I agree with you. And in the next 4 years, I'm actually leaving the education system as a whole. Not to say that I don't love the teachers. I just don't love the paycheck of the education system. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I agree with you that the admins don't support teachers. So now, what are we going to do? As because I'm in the lucky position where I do get support from my boss, from my administrator, from the person that I report to, from the accounting person. But for those of us who are not so lucky and don't have the opportunity to leave the education field because they need it for health insurance purposes, let's be realistic. Health insurance in the US is a little messed up. I just got a call from my health insurance company right before we got on this phone call saying that my health insurance denying a walker because I just got one last June and they only pick up a walker every 5 years. And that's on Obamacare. Thank you very much. Luckily, the walker's not that broken, so I can still use it. But I'm in a lucky position where I have the financial means I can work. But for those who are not in a lucky position, who can't leave the education field, Miss Glenn, what do we do?
So, what I think the biggest thing is what you've already addressed, which is administrators, supervisors that are not hearing the teachers, that are not listening to what the teachers need. And we have two ears for a reason, to listen twice as much as we talk. And I feel like if we don't listen to what teachers who are frontline and in the classroom, they don't feel validated in their job, they don't feel appreciated. And when you build a relationship with teachers, you get more work out of a teacher. So I think the first thing you have to do is make sure you're listening to them and hear what they have to say, and then support them. And one way you can support them is by encouraging them to take care of themselves and personal well-being, so mind, body, spirit. And that would mean providing professional development along those lines. Because what I found in the teaching profession is that sometimes I didn't get the professional development that was relevant, up to date, practical for the job that I was doing. And the next thing is to actually bring people in that have that so that you can actually use that in your classroom. So if you give teachers more of that support, more of those resources, their job works a little easier, especially now with more and more demands in the classroom, bigger classrooms, more kids that have complex needs. More things that are going on in society that cause challenges for us in the classroom. And I think the bottom line being, if teachers feel supported, then you're going to have much more success in your schools. And that translates to caring for kids.
Yeah. And the reason why I am involved in this concerns parent groups, let's just put it out there because it's public knowledge. The local media here is falling it in the national media. I think should fall it myself. So the reason why I'm involved is because I'm an ex-employee of the Aspen School District, and the reason why I'm involved is because also I'm a special ed kid. I don't know if you guys know this, but for my new listeners, by the way, I have cerebral palsy, which involves a whole host of problems. Me using assistive devices to walk, me having a bad back, me having issues internally too, which that's a whole side story in itself. But at the same time, I'm using my gifts of cerebral palsy to inspire you guys. But at the same time, the special ed teachers are getting thrown under the bus like there's no tomorrow in this special, in this situation going on right now with the public school system. And so I am fighting for them too. So now I'm fighting for the special ed kid too. So now too. But Julian, how do we fight for the underdog?
I think by doing exactly what you're doing, you put a face to a challenge and an issue. And by you being an influencer and a leader and speaking up, the more we talk about it, the more we create awareness, the more we create knowledge about what individuals need to be successful and have a school system that believes in success for all, then we're going to bring everybody along because everybody has their own unique skills, their own issues, their own needs within a school, within a classroom. And if we acknowledge that and meet kids where they are and have that as our mission, then everybody will succeed. Instead of pitting people against each other, students against each other and focusing on competition, we could focus on cooperation in the classroom. What is it that each needs? We could do much more in terms of school kids helping each other out. And that would also help us build acceptance, would help us build just kindness, right? Generally.
So, what would you recommend to, and I'll put a link in the show notes. I'll send a link to my assistant so you guys can follow this educational journey that I'm semi dealing with right now. The public school one, not my job by any means. And so, what do you think we should do, tell these? And I may be going to a meeting tonight about this situation. What do I tell these parents who are not educated? They're just parents in the school system, because I want to not only speak my mind, but I want to do it in a tasteful way. Parents who are leading these committees, and I'm not bashing the PTAs by any means all across the country, but I feel like parents who are not teachers don't get it.
Can you, as an advocate yourself, can you provide opportunities for education for those parents through the PTA or through being an administrator and offering lunch and learns or operate or having workshops at night for parents about how to advocate for your student, how to encourage your student to speak up for themselves, and also for parents to be a part of the school system and the school community, and also as an administrator, advocate for teachers to have some more professional development related to success for all. Is that something that you could do in your school system?
I can, but I won't, because what's happening now is, and I'll be frank and honest with them, is if I get a whistleblower involved, if I have these educational luncheons with these admins, they will tell the staff, and then the staff will lose their jobs. See, that's what's going on right now. The
Oh, I see.
staff is afraid that if they tell the admins will come back and hurt them by firing them.
Ah. So do they have a union rep? Do staff members have a
They
union rep
do,
that speaks? Okay.
but it's not good. It's not good. This whole situation is not good.
So if it comes from admin, yeah, see, I would encourage administrators to support teachers, not from any one teacher coming forward, but administrators being seen as providing some information for teachers and for parents. And maybe it's inviting the whole school community to get together to learn together, and then no one separate entity, so not parents, not teachers, not administrators being singled out. Maybe together it's about building community to wrap around supports for students.
So you well, they barely want the media there, let alone other teachers in this valley. They barely want the media there, let alone the other teachers in this valley. So, and I know that the other teachers in this valley are coming to the point where they're following this process, and I'm going to involve you guys just a little bit, my fan base, so you know what's going on in our public school system. My job has nothing to do with it because I work privately, but that's hearsay. But I was in that position many, many years ago, and I'm proud to say that I got out of there before things got severely bad. I was able to speak up for myself. I had the family that noticed that something was wrong with me and something was wrong with the whole situation. God bless my mom, but she didn't notice. She didn't notice. She, my dad was the one that noticed, so we give him the full credit for noticing. And because she guided me into the education field, so my she didn't even want to hear about how I wanted to be a journalist, and that's why I'm going back to school now to be a journalist. And then she just wanted to get me out of the house, basically. Thank you very much, Mom, that she wanted the respite care. She didn't even realize what was going on in that situation. My employer was emotionally abusive, and yeah. And so, and she still has two able body. And so I don't know what's going to happen with this situation. I will go to this meeting tonight, but I will teachers in this valley, now that they know, are scared to come up and share their stories because of the admins, and other teachers are scared to help because they just don't want to lose their jobs as well.
No, that makes sense. You can see how when somebody's coming from a place of fear and thinking they're going to lose their job, they don't want to speak up, which is why I think if maybe there's a, I don't know, maybe there's a committee that's formed that has representation from parents and admin and teachers to plan an event for all so that you build community. And maybe there's something for kids and something for adults, and it's all to build community and people working together. because then at least there's not one group that's singled out. I don't know how else you're going to do that, because like you said, teachers feel fearful about losing their jobs, and that's their livelihood, that's their you know, their income. And it also puts administrators and teachers sort of against each other. And that leaves parents somewhere in the middle, like you said, parents that need some education. How can you address that if you can't, because teachers are not bringing it forward and administrators are not aware or not hearing about it?
But at the same time, this committee was started by two parents.
Ah.
At the same time, this committee was started by two parents, and I just feel, and I'll be upfront and honest with you guys, I just feel like if I get any more involved than I am, it will come back and haunt me, because I will, even though I love empowering educators, I will lose my job because I'm trying to help the public school when I should be helping empower the kids at my private school who go to public school in ninth grade, so that they get supported by the teachers.
Ah, I see, you are in a tricky spot. So maybe
I'm in a tough spot, because even though I want to fight tooth and nail in these, and this is public knowledge, so I don't mind telling you this, all superintendent of schools hired his daughter to be the school psychologist.
I see.
That's part of the problem.
I see. Yeah, nepotism. I wonder I wonder if enlisting some of your fan support win, and so that people feel empowered and encouraged to, you know, advocate for their students in a school. I wonder if it can't come from that direction then. Perhaps somebody listening, you know?
It may come from that direction. I don't know. I'll let you guys decide. I'll put all the links in the show notes, and I'll let you guys decide, and I'll put the changes.org. There's a changes.org petition that I believe closes tonight, and it may close in a week, to bring change to the Aspen School District. But I just wanted to tell you guys that I'll be fighting tooth and nail with these guys for the special ed system. And Jillian used to do this. She used to be in the same predicament I am, but now she's not. She wrote the book. So let's, Jillian, why did you write that book to help people out here?
I wrote the book because I thought I was, or I believed I was, kind of part of the problem in the education system. I was doing a lot of complaining and feeling like I was spinning my wheels, and I wanted to take another direction. And so I started writing my book to help teachers originally. And when I had been helping students that had these barriers, I also helped teachers help those students. I also helped administrators help those students. And so we sort of wrapped around services around them. But I realized that the stories that I was hearing were really affecting me. I was hearing lots of sort of traumatic stuff, and it was very tiring, very hard on me emotionally. And I thought, oh, if I'm feeling this as a teacher, what about social workers? What about administrators? What about other people out there in the world who do this for a living? And so I began to interview people from all different occupations and all different professions, from first responders, social workers, nurses, doctors, paramedics, to my vet, to people in the financial business, to people in alternative therapies, to funeral directors. I interviewed 30 people across all sort of walks of life. And of course, I couldn't include everybody or I never would have finished writing the book. But I found the same thing. I found that although they knew that they needed to take care of themselves, they just didn't find the time or could not manage to fit it into their day because they cared so much about other people first. And I also found that a lot of them felt they weren't prepared for their job, the responsibilities and the increasing demands. And they all found that they were not told to take care of themselves first, and that they also didn't have professional development or the proper support to help them do their job, which really blew my mind, because as a teacher, I knew that from a teaching profession, but I didn't know that it existed in all these other occupations.
No, you can barely, and this is the thing that also drives me nuts about the teaching profession. You can barely get a workshop paid for, let alone emotional support.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, I tried, and they said no way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that there's a stigma that exists if people go and try and get some emotional support as well, even though your job, you see and hear lots of things, right? And you could do with some support emotionally, mentally, and there's a stigma if you go and get some help. So that has to shift, and that has to shift in more than teaching. It has to be acceptable to take care of yourself, look after yourself, regardless of what occupation you're in, and also not to be stigmatized if you go and get some help emotionally, because there's lots of professions that see and hear lots of really traumatic things that happen to kids and people.
So, yeah, I believe it. I believe it, because I was emotionally abused in the workplace, and my boss never did anything. And if I went and told the admins would have pushed it under the rug, which they're still doing. So, you guys, I am going to let Joanne now interview me, but first, one question. You had to be educated by anyone. Who would it be, and why?
I would love to be educated by Buddha. I know he's not living now, but I love the idea of peace and acceptance, compassion and kindness. I would love to see more of that in our lives. So how could I impact that? How could I take that into my everyday existence?
Well, that would be a great teacher. And unfortunately, these teachers are not live anymore. But this is why we're still in the education field. At least I am fighting for kids, because education is number one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not the paycheck comes after, but if you're not supported by your teachers, you're not going to be a very happy camper. And these teachers who are going through the special ed debacle with the Aspen school district, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them, because I don't see how. I don't see how. Uh-huh. I mean, a couple of teachers showed up, but I don't see, because they're scared half to death to show up to these private meetings, and we did it at a private home, and it just, a public issue at a private home doesn't sit well with me, and so I may go fight to the nail for these kids, but I may not. But tonight, I just hope that Jillian's book will inspire you guys to take care of yourself, even if you're not in the education field. So, Joanne, what questions do you have for me?
Oh, so my first question is, when, as a woman of determination and commitment to your goals, how do you take care of yourself so that you can achieve your goals?
Well, my latest toy that I just got, and I just got out on it on Saturday, is e-bike. And how my e-bike is set up, it's a modified become a trike, and they put the e-bike functionality in this trike, and I love it, and I love it, and I love it, and I love having an e-bike. I can't even say more. I gave up a bike for this e-bike. Let's just put it that way so I can fit in my garage, because when having two bikes wouldn't have been good. So I love this e-bike. So I try to get out on this e-bike as much as I can. And so I try to restore myself by getting a lot of sleep, 7 to 8 hours. I think that helps when you're in the education field. And also, if you can get away with it, like I can, my supervisor said, "Do you want to bring your work home with you?" And I said, "Nope, flat out. I get enough homework in my own schooling right now that I don't need your homework on top of it." So she goes,
That's
"I
amazing.
get you, and I understand that, and I respect you." So that's the deal I made with her. I said, "Nope, I'm leaving the book that you assigned me here on my desk." And she goes, "I get it, I get it." So I have been and done that. I have brought home work with me in the past, not necessarily last year, but a couple of years, and I said, "Never again, never again," because you don't get paid when you bring work home with you. Teachers don't get paid to grade papers at all.
Right. Well, and I think that really shows your boundaries. That really shows that you value yourself and value your health and your well-being. And to have good boundaries like that and say no, there's a lot of teachers that don't say no.
And I think we need to do, I think we need to quit hiding in on shelves here, shelves being classroom. And I think we need to tell the administrations to knock it off. And I'm sorry, but these administrations are getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the longer I bark and squawk, people don't listen to me. But I think people need a higher paycheck, especially when they are in the teaching field.
Well, we value young people, and it's a respectful job, and it's a huge responsibility raising children, and that's what you're doing as a teacher. And you're absolutely right that teachers have to encourage each other to say no more and to say, I'm not taking that home, right? I mean, that's what's going to help is if we work together, not against administration, but more for ourselves, standing up for ourselves. And that is regardless of whether you're a teacher or who you are, you need to have some strong boundaries about what it is that you will do or not do in the interest of your own well-being.
Well, that is wonderful. And so, how would you suggest that teachers say no?
I think teachers need to make friends with each other, and to get out of their own classroom. And you mentioned something like that. Teachers work in isolation in their classrooms. It's like you're solo. So if they speak more to each other and they befriend each other, then they'll work together to work on their own well-being and to focus on that and to focus on what they want and what they need and what they desire. And when you're healthier and happier and working with somebody, Your life looks a lot better. It feels a lot better. You're a better teacher. You work more efficiently in your life. You're more productive in your life. So as far as what I allude to in my book, I have a system called Flourish. And so it is F for Flourish is focus. The L in Flourish is love. The O is ownership. The U is unity, which I was just talking about. The R is responsibility. I is inspiration. S is for synergy. How do you make this work in your life? And H is harmony. How do you make this work not only in your life, but in far-reaching implications in your school and in your world? So I think when you follow those 8 steps, not only does it help you with your personal well-being, it helps the world, because as you are happier and healthier, you encourage certainly children to be happier and healthier and other people that you work with. So instead of us giving all our energy out and not having any boundaries and always spending much more energy and time for everybody else, if we change that up a bit and put ourselves first and focus on that piece, then we're going to encourage other people to also do the same. And that's going to create a happier, healthier world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I, your homework, people, is to go to your bosses and nicely say, do I have to bring work home with me? Do I have to do this? Can you just, and you can set your cell phone in the middle of the table and click ask when, I don't care. You can set your cell phone in the middle of the table and make your boss listen to this podcast. And you can just say nicely to them, do I have to bring the paperwork home with me? Or can we just leave it here? Now, I know for some of you, you have kids. I know for some of you, you outside the teaching field have as responsibilities, and it would be nice not to grade papers at 10 o'clock at night. And so can you just talk to your bosses nicely, people, and say, can you just listen to 2 seconds of this podcast? As a matter of fact, I'm on Thursday, I am recording, believe it or not, I bring my boss on my podcast, and yes, my boss is very supportive of my podcast, and I bring my boss about once a year just to give you guys a taste of the other side of my life, and so you guys can understand that I work, I do get support, I have the best working environment ever. I finally got my own office after 13 years, which I'm allowed to listen to music as long as it's child appropriate music, and I'm allowed to listen to podcasts. And they said to me the first day, if you want your phone in there, that's fine, but just be respectful of the kids, which I completely get. And so I put on music. I sat there and read my book. I wasn't listening to music the whole time, but I sat there and read my book, you know, and mixed it happily and proudly. And I said to my boss, there's no way I'm bringing this book home with me. My boss said, I get here and respected me as an employee. So that's what I'm saying. Your homework lesson for this week from Julian and I is to love yourself and go into your boss's office and put your cell phone in the middle of the table, turn on Ask When, and say, can I just have you listen to this podcast? And please, can I not bring homework home with me? Because homework at home doesn't work for my schedule.
That's an amazing challenge. I love it.
Yeah. And I want to know from you, my fan base, how many of you did it? You can tweet me at WinKellyCharles. You can email me And I will forward it on to Jillian, because we want happier, healthier everyone. We want happier, healthier mommies and daddies, and happier, healthier teachers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I knew Jillian was going to say yes. And I have to apologize to Jillian at the beginning of this interview. I kept calling her Gwen for some weird reason. I got your name stuck as Gwen in my brain. So now I apologize to Jillian, because in the middle of the interview, I looked it up.
It's fine.
Teaches me a lesson. Look up your interviewee's name. Oops. See, there goes the teacher lesson. I'm like, I have to look up the student's name here, because I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me. So I apologize to you, Julian, publicly for screwing up your name. I don't do well with names. My name is unique too, so I don't. That's part of the reason why I don't do well. It has nothing to do with CP. It's just a unique name club here.
I accept your apology. It's fine.
Well, it's fine. So do you have any more questions for me?
Yeah, my question to you also is, my book is about prioritizing well-being, which we've been talking about, and it's also about living a flourishing life, as I mentioned. And you and I are consistent in our beliefs about living your best life. So I want to know how you would define either living your best life or flourishing, and whether you think you are flourishing.
Well, I finally put myself in a position where I'm not physically sick anymore, and it has nothing to do with my CP. It had to do with me teaching that I was a totally different person, because part of it was I was in an emotionally abusive work situation while teaching preschool. Second of all, I was getting sick from physically sick from all those stunning nose preschoolers, and I admit they're stunning nose preschoolers. And so I, when my colleague actually retired, she only stayed with me for one year. My ex-colleague now has been at my school for, I believe, close to 10 years. She only took 1 year off to take care of her son, obviously, because motherhood was important to her. But my other colleague only stuck it out for 1 year, and she moved back to Oklahoma for family purposes, which some of us don't believe, because I think she got burned out by the education field. I honestly do. I mean, she was in the creative field long before she came to Country Day, and then really understood the education field and got burned out by it. But when she retired, she announced in January that she was retiring to all of us. I said, good, you need to go home to Oklahoma so I can get out of here. You're my escape belt, because other than that, I didn't have an escape belt planned. But when she retired, I escaped teaching preschool. And I say escape because I'm a happier, healthier person because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have one other question I'd love to know the answer to, because you have conducted so many interviews. I want to know what your biggest surprise or aha moment for you has been about doing these interviews.
Oh my God, put me on the spot. Put me on the spot, Joanne. Jeez.
I know.
My biggest surprise moment is when I interviewed Will from Modern Family, and he was talking about, and I never had a candid interview with such a big joy of my life. And you guys can hear his voice when he was talking about the VA. And he agreed with me, he agreed with Will and me that the Veterans Association, now I don't know about Canada, but the Veterans Association here in the US hasn't been good for many, many, many years. And so he said, you hit the nail right on the head, only because I know about the VA. That's only because my grandfather fought the beaches of the Anzio in World War II and came home with mental injuries, and the VA didn't treat my grandfather well. Of course, they're still not treating veterans well. And at the time I interviewed Will from Modern Family, we were dealing with the Agent Orange thing, which is more in the Vietnam War. And I just couldn't believe that he agreed with me about that. And I just couldn't. So that was the most surprising interview. And then I got another one saying, ask. No, it was Women's, Women of Wisdom at the time. This interview show was with Women's, Women of Wisdom at the time. And I got that one that with Women's, Women of Wisdom saved a person's life. And so that was the most shocking moment when I got that one being number one. The second one that a huge TV star would actually agree with me that the Veterans Association is not doing a good job for their veterans. I don't think these teacher unions are doing a good job either. That's one of the reasons why I stepped away from the public school when I did. I mean, I don't think these admins are supporting teachers to the best of their abilities. And we can have a whole nother conversation, Julian and I, about teaching. I can go on and on, and don't get me started because you got me started in this interview. So now I'm trying to put the cap on it. But I appreciate Julian for stepping out of the education field when she did, wrote the book, and she, once an educator, always an educator. I don't care if you're an admin or the janitor. You're inspiring kids. So once an educator, educators need to stick together, number one, and education will always be in our hearts. Jillian has the same passion I do for education and fighting for the underdogs. I know she does. And so, education will always be in my heart, even when I do become a journalist.
You'll still be teaching, Wynn, as a journalist. You're right.
I'll still be barking. That's true. I'll still be barking and squawking as a journalist. maybe I'll try,
You'll
but
still be
I'll still be.
educating and inspiring.
Oh, yes. And for those of you who don't know, I'm actually, because of the cell phone outage here we had yesterday, I'm actually need to go do my homework after I hang up this phone call with Jillian. But I thank you guys for listening to Jillian's story, and I just wish you guys the best of luck in saying to your boss, can I leave homework here? And if your boss doesn't respond, you can either email me or email Jillian, and we'll help you guys come up with tactics for your boss to get them straight. Because as I said, We need happier, healthier teachers, and that's how I'll cap off this interview. Jillian, where can people find you?
They can find me at info@jillian.stevens.ca. So Jillian, Gillian, Stevens, Stevens.ca, or my phone number is 519-400-0095.
And it's not a .com, people, by the way.
No, it's .ca.
It's dot...
.ca. Hello? Hello?